Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight-up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. I'm really excited. Last week's episode was really popular. We had a bunch of people retweeting it and sharing it on their social media. It was about the Hong Kong warehousing and fulfillment. We had Casey Lau share, who is on episode 3, sharing about the Hong Kong startup scene and startupshk.com. Victor Leo from Importorama, who I met when he came here for Canton Fair from Brazil, and he was doing some research and asked me actually to do a show about logistics, so I finally got that for you. And Michael Eagleton from FAB APC Brands in Shenzhen. He's been listening a lot, and we've met a few times, so he shared it on his LinkedIn, and I'm really, really appreciative. And we also have Chi Y Lee, who is a regular listener and chat a lot on Twitter, and founder of GetFit.hk, who also left a voicemail for us. Let's listen in.
Hi, Michael. This is Chi from GetFit.hk, where our goal is to make Hong Kong healthier. I just want to say what wonderful job you're doing with your podcast and the website. I've been in Hong Kong for 5 years, and this is one of my favorite resources for doing businesses in Asia. I especially love episode 36 with Joe on the Kickstarter project. I'm thinking of putting a Kickstarter project together myself, so this is a wonderful podcast for me. Thank you so much, and keep up the good work.
So yeah, he was our first person to use this new voicemail button I built in the site. It's on globalfromasia.com/voicemail. You can record a quick message. I'll work it up into future episodes. It can be questions, comments, follow-ups. I like to hear from you, and I think other listeners do too, so please don't be shy and try it out. And again, I'm just really happy to get so much people interested in the Hong Kong logistics and warehousing fulfillment companies. I'm going to work on getting more on the show. It's been a little bit difficult to get some of these more traditional businesses to be on the show. They're not sure what is a podcast and what is it used for. And so I'm really happy Danny came on last week. I'll also try to get more as we go along. Okay, and now for this week's show, we have Steve Barnes back with us. He was on episode 4, one of my first people on the show, and he is an expert. He's the Hong Kong Visa expert on helping people immigrate to Hong Kong for business and personal. We always focus on the show, because we're a business podcast, we focus on the investment visa. I got an email about a week or two ago from him. He was updating all of his email subscribers about the new policies, and it's getting a little bit more difficult to get approved for your Hong Kong investment visa. So I think it was really about time we got him back on the show. If you want to go into basics about it, maybe go back to episode 4 and listen. This show is more about the updates and a little bit more advanced kind of like ideas and tactics for what to do if you currently have an investment visa coming up for renewal, or you're looking to try to get a new one. So let's listen in. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in. My name is Michael Michelini, and I'm here with Stephen Barnes. This is a Global from Asia podcast, which is interviewing businessmen in Hong Kong and helping a lot of businesses set up and understand China business as well as Hong Kong business, operating your company around Asia as well as the world. And this is our second time we have Steve on the show. We're in his premise here, recording in the office. So thanks for being here, Steve.
My pleasure, Michael.
And it was episode 4 about 9 months ago in like October, November timeframe, and a lot's happened. And I've got an update from you that the policies are getting a little bit stricter for immigration visas. Maybe first you can introduce yourself to everybody.
Yeah, well, Stephen Barnes, also known as the Hong Kong Visa Geezer. Been practicing Hong Kong immigration for about 21 years or so. And I've got a very wide area of practice expertise and experience. And yeah, there have been some changes in the last few weeks. And that's why I think we're here to talk today, right?
It's definitely great to get you back on the show. He's definitely an expert. I've seen him speak at a few different seminars, and sharing his knowledge and it's also really good his internet presence too, so you can always find his information online. So maybe first, just defining for some people immigration visas in Hong Kong?
Well, I think specifically the issue that I advised you upon recently was the change in policy as to how the Immigration Department view an acceptable business plan for the purposes of a new investment visa application. It used to be that the test for approval, it still is the same, but the test for approval for business investment visa is to show you can make a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong, which, as I keep saying, in many ways is like asking how long is a piece of string. But there are certain themes that are present in every approved investment visa. And it used to be that those themes could be implemented successfully over the course of, say, 12 months, and the Immigration Department would buy into that. But now they're specifically looking to see that these investments have come to almost full fruition within 6 months, not 12. This has meant that the sort of runway that a lot of young, or not so young even, but startup organizations had set themselves to go about in showing that you can make that substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong has had to be fast-tracked now. And the three things that the Immigration Department are looking for is the creation of local jobs. They need to see that you've got a properly set up office, and they need to see that you've got resources, both funding resources and non-funding resources. It used to be that you could argue that you would have, say, for example, a mere virtual office for the first, say, 6 months of your life, and then you start recruiting for those local positions, and then within 2 or 3 months, you could then amble your way up into, in a sense, creating a properly set up office by the time you're sort of 9 months or, 12 months into the process. And that was an acceptable timeline for the Immigration Department. But as I mentioned, they're now wanting to see that be achieved in 6 months, not 12. So everything has to be brought much further forward now.
Okay, so I have a lot of questions. So
yeah, go for it.
I think my first is people that already started the filing process.
Yeah.
Does that affect those people?
Yeah, indeed, because the reason why I became alert to this was that I had three applications all refused on the same day that had been originally subject to that 12-month timeline, the advice that I'd been giving many months prior that was good advice at that point in time. So, yes, if you've got an application in process, my advice would be have a really good look at your business plan in terms of the timing and make sure that you go back to the Immigration Department with a fast-tracked implementation plan. You see, essentially, the message I was getting back from my informal conversations with various officers of the Immigration Department is that it's not sufficient just to have the cash in the bank that you can fund the business. You've actually got to be investing it. Hence this idea that it's truncated from 12 down to 6, because in those 6 months, you're going to be establishing your office, that costs you money. You have to take money out of your bank account to invest into that. You have to create local jobs. So clearly, money out of your bank account to fund those local jobs. And in conference with a number of different people that picked up on the same alert that you picked up on, it became apparent that there was this sort of recurring theme, but I don't need to do this now. Mm-hmm. Well, that may well be the case, but the Immigration Department expect to see it. And if you expect to be in an approvable situation, show that you're making those investments properly.
Yeah, got it. So I think then to break it down, you should be stable enough in 6 months in your business plan to have a fixed office with local talent, full-time hired, hopefully one or more local people.
Yeah. The idea being that as far as the Immigration Department go, if you've made a commitment to Hong Kong to come here and invest your capital, you don't need 12 months. You can do it in 6, irrespective of what your original plan called for. That by investing your money now, essentially you should be able to fast track in any event your plan, notwithstanding the fact that really what you're doing is trying to run lean as long as you possibly can. But lean doesn't correlate with substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong, unfortunately.
Yeah, I got it. I mean, I'm a young, more entrepreneur, and I've met a lot of people that come to Hong Kong to try to build a new business opportunity for themselves. You know, sometimes conflicting. I've met with like InvestHK and some of these other organizations in Hong Kong trying to attract, you know, talent and technology. I know in a previous show we talked about technology as an asset. Is that still?
Very much so. I mean, the bad news is that you have to fast track this stuff from 12 down to 6. The good news is that, you know, the immigration department are starting to demonstrate through some of the cases that we've had in that they are receptive to the idea that you can be in the tech space and not have the normal kind of profile for an approval, recognizing that the tech world operates somewhat differently from the rest of the world. Yeah. And that's how it should be, of course. I've seen I've had a case quite recently where, on the face of it, this young man should not have been able to get an employment visa, but he was in the tech space, not a graduate, hadn't had 2 years post-graduation working experience in managerial or supervisor capacity, but the strategy that we deployed in the application meant that we were able to clearly demonstrate to the immigration department that this young man had hacked his way into a certain kind of excellence and that those hacking skills had been recognized in the community generally and that the firm that he was working for had good evidence to show that he did possess those skills, notwithstanding the fact he was going to be earning a considerable sum of money for quite a young man, clearly indicative of his value. So not a traditional applicant for an employment visa, but he got approved. So I think it's fair to say, knowing the general dynamism of the immigration department, that when it comes to tech skills in the future and tech businesses in the future, I think there'll be a recognition through the way that policy is implemented. There'll be a recognition that perhaps a certain amount of leeway should be given if there's a clear tech play in play, so to speak.
Got it. So yeah, you brought up employment visa. So maybe we just give a few different options for non-local Hong Kong to come and try to build their business in Hong Kong, or is investment visa if you want to do your own business?
It's investment visa if you want to do your own business. If you want to come and work for a tech company, then you need an employment visa under the general employment policy. That means special skills, knowledge and experience of value to are not readily available in Hong Kong. Normally under that category, you have to show that you're a professional, and that means, as I mentioned just now, graduate with 2 years post-graduation working experience in a managerial or supervisory capacity. That is open to interpretation, given particularly this case that I've just explained to you. So in many ways, if you are clearly a tech talent and you've got a half-decent sponsor, and there's a really good dimension to the story that suggests that you've got something that is critical to the project and clearly isn't going to be available locally, it may well be that there's an opportunity for you to win a positive argument with the immigration department in a scenario like that. But as things go on, I suspect it'll probably get a little bit easier anyway. So that's a regular employment visa, investment visa to start your own business, a clear pathway to employment in Hong Kong if you're not a traditional candidate for approval under the investment visa or under the employment visa is if, say, if you're a fresh graduate, you don't have the necessary working experience, you can come to Hong Kong, get a student visa and get for a master's program, which will take you a year. When you graduate with your master's degree from a recognized Hong Kong university, you can then adjust your student visa into something called the immigration arrangements for non-local graduates. And that effectively is a rubber stamping exercise by the immigration department where they're saying to you, we acknowledge that you've acquired something special during your time in Hong Kong, given also that you've graduated from your course. We don't want to throw you away. We want to give you an opportunity to come and translate your background and your skills into Hong Kong's economy. So we'll give you a 1 year, no questions asked, employment visa. So out of student visa into employment visa. So you get 12 months then, basically, to get yourself established. And at the end of those 12 months, as long as you've got a decent employer who's prepared to sponsor you into a full employment visa, they will favorably consider your application in that situation because you are a graduate under the immigration arrangements for non-local graduates. And the focus then is placed on the employer to make sure that the employer is a suitable and credible sponsor, which effectively precludes somebody going off and just buying a shelf company and then pitching up at the immigration department and saying, hey, look, you know, I've got this employer. So clearly that doesn't work. But it's a great pathway for those people who don't presently qualify, have got the resources to perhaps get educated here for 1 year on a master's program. And then you've basically got a free ticket into a formal employment thereafter.
Okay. That's an interesting track. Yeah, so yeah. Get a 1 year master's and then 1 year rubber stamp employment visa to give you something.
Had you heard of that before?
I actually hadn't heard of that. I know there's a lot of people that study here, but yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Chinese national youth did a great deal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good way for them to get here.
Okay, that's great. So maybe some trends you're seeing. So of course it's getting more difficult. I guess everybody wants to come to Hong Kong. Maybe I read some of your email. You're saying specifically European. Is that?
Yeah. There's a lot of Europeans that have found their way in Hong Kong, and I think there's probably about 17 or 18,000 of them. And clearly, there's not jobs for 17 or 18,000 Europeans. And because there's such an increase in numbers, I think the Immigration Department are now simply saying, well, all right, we need to get control over this because we're having to deal with so many more applicants and we're conceptually giving more and more approvals. And particularly in the context of business investment visas, where you've been able to satisfy the department to the extent that you can make a substantial contribution, that they've given you the initial approval. And it used to be a couple of years ago that once you got that initial approval as an investment visa holder, you would either be subjected to business review at the end of the first 12 months, or they would give you what I used to call a free and clear approval. And the free and clear approval normally was given to those people who the Immigration Department felt a very strong case and that they didn't need to be assessed at 12 months because it was clear on the application that they would be on their way, so to speak. But now part of the tightening up is the Immigration Department are effectively reviewing all business investment visas.
Yeah, that's a question I was thinking about. Previous approved visas?
They're all being subject to business review. And what that means is the department look back over the prior 12 months and they're looking to see that you've created local jobs, that you've got a properly set up office, keen to see what your turnover is so that they can see you've got a sustainable business, and they want to know how much cash you've got.
And in a previous episode, we talked about cash. Is that cash in Hong Kong or globally?
Normally, depending on what your business plan looks like, the Immigration Department would expect to see, in my opinion, between 500,000 and 1 million Hong Kong. If you can show that you've got those resources available to you, you can essentially tick the box to say you've got, you know, the relevant kind of funding to give effect to your plan. But as I say, one of the big changes is that it's no longer sufficient just to have the money, you have to spend it. You have to be seen to be investing it in Hong Kong. It's not sufficient, for example, to take half of your capital and then invest it in some sort of commodity or asset that's outside of Hong Kong that you're going to trade, because that's clearly not going to benefit Hong Kong. So you have to be implementing your plan and investing in Hong Kong in that fashion. So, the money can be essentially anywhere, because the Immigration Department look at your ability to fund that business in the round. But normally, 500,000 Hong Kong dollars in your Hong Kong company account, out of which you're going to be dispersing the elements of your investment to give effect to the plan. And then any additional funding that you've got standing in your own name somewhere else can be brought down and implemented into the business. So the department, as I say, look at your ability to finance the business in the round, but I'd say put 500,000 Hong Kong in your Hong Kong company bank account just to tick that box and be confident that you're not going to get denied because you don't have suitable funding available to you.
Okay. So, you know, like I mentioned earlier, there's some of these programs that in Hong Kong trying to help bring more business to Hong Kong. Could those people help there with like letters or...
Yeah, none of those things hurt. They are all good, positive signs that you've got access to a network that's going to, in a sense, allow you to ride over some of the troubled times that you might face. But none of these things are by themselves are definitive. Mm-hmm. But certainly, if you can get Cyberport involved, they get money for an incubation program, you get InvestHK to write a letter of support. I mean, whatever support you can show that you've got available to you will always help in your application, but none of it's definitive. You've still got to be able to show creation of local jobs, properly set up office, and the right kind of funding available to you so that you can have a sustainable business, one that's going to result in a solidly entrenched commercial enterprise.
So I think everybody knows Hong Kong is a hot real estate market.
Yeah.
Does real estate like count if they were to take the money? And sometimes I've heard of even bank loans more positioned for buying real estate, you know, or owning real estate. Is that something?
Well, but, you know, merely investing in Hong Kong real estate doesn't allow you to show you're going to make a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong, unless you've got a business plan that sees you buying 7 or 8 properties, that you're going to convert them into rental units, or you're going to turn them into some sort of service department type project, and you're going to have a management team and all that kind of good stuff. So that type of real estate clearly would help, but just buying an apartment isn't going to get you too far at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it seems like they just want to make sure local people are getting jobs.
It's the same. The spirit of the policy here reflects what goes on in other jurisdictions. In other jurisdictions, they tend to legislate for these things. Like you have the U.S., where you can get a certain type of visa if you're going to create jobs and if you're going to invest money. Same in Australia, various visa classes there that could be of use. Mm-hmm. Here we don't have such a strict boxed-in type scheme, if you will. Mm-hmm. What we've got is this flexibility that's inherent under the powers of the immigration ordinance that the Director of Immigration gets to create and implement policy. So the spirit, as I say, is create jobs, show that you've got a sustainable business in front of you, that you've got a properly set up office. Because if you're serious about your business, you have properly set up offices. So to the extent that the way the Hong Kong Immigration Department's schema is organized, it does reflect what goes on elsewhere. So it's not unusual. It just, in my way of thinking anyway, it means that we're advantaged here. Because if you've got a really good story, and it's a little bit weak in one areas, but the rest are really good, it's not going to fall over because, you know, one particular legislative requirement hasn't been addressed in their application. So we've got that inherent flexibility.
Okay, great. So kind of getting towards the end of my show here, the question I think I have is, a lot of our people we interview are sometimes entrepreneurs in Hong Kong, and a lot of times their last tip is to just come here. Because a lot of times, in life and business and startups, sometimes it's just doing it.
Yeah.
Is that something you would also recommend, or?
Well, the irony is, right, if you're going to start your own business, very often you need to create new facts on the ground to persuade the Immigration Department that you're in a position to make a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong. And the Immigration Department will expect in certain types of applications that those new facts on the ground have been created, which, by the way, if you come here as a visitor, which is the immigration status available to allow you to just to trap and start this stuff, isn't strictly speaking commensurate with your condition of stay as a visitor if you're doing that stuff. Mm. But as I talk about quite extensively on my blog, there's a concept called the Catch-22. And the Catch-22 is where you have to show to the Immigration Department you can make a substantial contribution to the economy of Hong Kong. Immigration Department expects to see those new facts on the ground. You can't create those new facts on the ground until you've got the right visa, but you can't get the visa until the Immigration Department say yes. So as long as you've got an active application in the system and you empower the Immigration Department to take a view as to what's going on, normally, in my experience, they don't throw logs at the feet of entrepreneurs. They want to encourage this type of welcome investment. The problem is that if you just come with the attitude that we don't have any money, you can come here with as a visitor and get perhaps 90 days or 180-day limit of stay, and you're aggressively building a business from the ground up, you know, and you don't think about the correct immigration status, so you're never in a position anytime soon to put an application into the Immigration Department, then all of that activity is a breach of your conditions of stay as a visitor, and you're vulnerable to prosecution for breach of conditions of stay. So I would never advise just come and just do it. I would say come, engage in activities preparatory to the commencement of your business, and if you think that you've got a really good shot at getting an investment visa approved, get an application in and then start the business, because it's foolish in a sense to start the business and not deal with the immigration implications, because it may be that you put your life, heart and soul into that business and you spend a year or 2 years and you come and go as a visitor, all of which is not commensurate with your condition of stay as a visitor, and you're so involved in that business to the extent that it's got your heart and soul and all your available resources into it, and you can't let it go and you can't give it up, but you're never going to get an investment visa because it's not good enough to show you can make that substantial contribution. And there now you've got two nooses around your neck. You've got a business that you're hanging on to for dear life because you truly believe in it and you're fully invested in it, but you've got the clock ticking against you to the point where the Immigration Department, the next time you come in as a visitor, may say, what are you doing here? And that at that point, the balloon could go up. So, no, I wouldn't recommend just trapping. I think that's foolish. Come engage in activities preparatory to the commencement of your business, and then if you think you can get the visa approved, make your application. Yeah. And you should do that, right, because you want to get, you want to know that you've got a sustainable scenario in Hong Kong from an immigration perspective before you get too deep into your business, because one is obviously going to be a problem for the other.
Okay. Thanks so much. And they should probably come meet you when they're here, right?
Well, come to our website, hongkongvisageeza.com or hongkongvisahandbook.com. It's all there. Everything's for free. Yeah. And if you've got any questions, they can ask me via the blog anytime, and I'm more than happy to give them an answer completely free of charge.
Thanks for coming back on the show.
Great. My pleasure, okay. Michael. Thanks.
Alrighty. That's a wrap.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you again for coming back on the show. We also had it videotaped in his office, and he's going to put that on his YouTube channel and his website. I'll link that in the show notes once I get it. It'll be on globalfromasia.com/episode42. I'm really glad Steve is so open and sharing his knowledge. I think that's really the way things should be, and there's still a lot of traditional businesses here in Asia or in Hong Kong that are a little bit more closed with their information, but it's really great to have them in the community. So we also did mention that one-year MBA program in Hong Kong is a good way to get yourself started in Hong Kong. I think that's also a good topic for our show, and I'm going to start looking into contacting some people, maybe interview some people from the schools or in the schools. And then next week, we're going to have a topic about getting recruited to work in Hong Kong and Asia with a recruitment firm with Justin Leong from Ambition Hong Kong. So I know some people are interested or not even sure how to maybe start their careers in Asia or in Hong Kong, and Justin kind of gives you some basic ideas of how to do that. So look forward to seeing you guys next week. That's a wrap.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.